Good afternoon on this wet Saturday, March 6th, 2021. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in the heart and the home of the world champion Tampa Bay Bucks, the Tampa Bay Rays across the street, and of course the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, where the fans have been celebrating for 28 years, and we're going to celebrate for the next hour and 45 minutes right here on the St. Pete Sports Connection. You're listening to RadioSt.Pete.com. I'm Mike Rickard, and we try to provide a portal to positivity, sports, music, and laughter every Saturday, live from world-famous Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, as I mentioned, right across the street from the Trop. And actually, April 9th is opening weekend against the Yankees, and this place will be absolutely jam-packed, I can assure you that. And we need the Rays fans to show up strong and represent, and that Eastern Division this year is going to be very, very competitive. I'll tell you right now, in spring training, they're at 500. They play the Atlanta Braves, who stole Charlie Morton from us, and they play today to try to go to 4-3. But we got a jam-packed show. A couple of plugs for Fergs. Of course, every college basketball game, you can right now. We've got South Carolina and Kentucky on one of the screens. We moved inside today, by the way, because of the weather conditions. And we've got quite a few guests. Mark Ferguson around here getting ready for tonight. You've got UFC 259, three title fights tonight. And it's free here, and it promises to be a great card. So tonight about 9 o'clock, come on down to Ferg's, UFC 259. As I mentioned before, my background is boxing. I haven't really been a UFC fan, but I'm starting to get the bug. I know a couple kids that are participating at the national level, so come on down tonight. UFC 259, three title fights starting at 9 o'clock, and it's free at Ferg's. From an on-the-tee perspective, right now, it's the Arnold Palmer Invitation in Orlando. Great tournament. I would be over there if it wasn't for COVID. You've got 5,000 strong spectators, which the players are thoroughly enjoying that. And, you know, I've mentioned before, I was blessed to meet Arnold Palmer on three occasions, and actually, you know, conversation, a couple of hours. On one case in Des Moines, Iowa, he had Arnold Palmer's signature golf course at Tournament Club of Iowa in Polk City, Iowa, and what a true gentleman. And he paved the way for these youngsters to have all their endorsement deals. He was a true gentleman, and they celebrate him over there in Orlando all weekend long. Might get a little rain today, but right now on top of the leaderboard is Corey Connors, followed by Martin Laird, Victor Hovland, Roy McIlroy. I don't like to see this. Not a whole lot of red, white, and blue in that leaderboard. Bryson DeChambeau, Paul Casey, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, and that pretty much winds up the top 10 over there in Orlando. You can watch that on NBC today. And if you come down here, Ferg, I'm probably the only geek that asked for one of the stations to be on golf, even though I suck at golf. Anyway, let's go over the top 25 in college basketball, and then I'll segue to a conversation with Chris McCain, kind enough to come down and talk hoops. A week from tomorrow is Selection Sunday, and I always love that day. And we'll talk about how Chris McCain met the beautiful Mrs. McCain with a little March Madness flavor. The AP Top 25, Gonzaga, they've held that perch all season long. My Iowa Hawkeyes did give them a battle, though, early in the season. Michigan, number two, the Baylor Bears, number three. This Big Ten is absolutely loaded. Illinois, my Iowa Hawkeyes are number five. The hilarity of it is they got absolutely slaughtered by Michigan. They take care of business against Ohio State in number seven, and they're number five. So, you know, that's why we're going to talk about it. I think this is going to be an exciting March Madness. Number one, because we missed it last year. Number two, it's anybody's ball game. I mean, I wouldn't count out Tom Izzo if he gets in, because he's a tournament freak when it comes to getting his team ready. And defense wins championships, as Chris and I will discuss here in a little bit. West Virginia, number six. Ohio State, number seven, as I said. Alabama proving that they're not just a football team, number eight in the country. And they're a dark horse. If you're a better, you can get a piece of the Crimson Tide to win it all. Houston, Villanova. For all you Florida State fans, Ferg, now that you guys aren't a football school, you're jumping on this bandwagon. Florida State's another one of those sleeper teams that people are really nervous about it playing in the tournament. And then you've got Arkansas, Kansas, Creighton. My good friend Greg McDermott made a major error, and hopefully he survives this. Because I will make a statement here. Greg McDermott is one of the kindest guys you're ever going to meet, and it's very unfortunate. We do live in very, very tenuous times as far as watching what comes out of your pie hole. And I think to a man, any of the kids that have played for him, I don't care what color are, they'll tell you, he's a great mentor. He's a great father figure in many cases, and I think that's what crushed him the most. And I know he's suspended, and we'll see what happens there. I've got another good friend, Jeff Vanderloo, on that bench. But that's, of course, that's the lead story. You know, they like the negativity. Then the Texas Longhorns, Oklahoma at Big 12 is located, well, how about this? 15, 16, 17, 18. Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech. Oklahoma State and West Virginia do battle today, but the number one draft pick is out for this contest. And that's your top 20. And I think quite easily that that's a good barometer if you're going to pick your Sweet 16. Just look at that top 20, and they always throw in a couple of teams from smaller conferences. All right, let's talk hoops with someone that knows a heck of a lot more about it than I do. He's Chris McCain. He's been down before to hang with me, and we had a lot of fun. And you've been busy with hoops.
Yeah, we did have a lot of fun.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay, so I bring a couple of former Buccaneer cheerleaders here, right?
Yeah.
From 1976. Look at Mark Ferguson right now. I know he couldn't help himself. He was at the first Bucs game, so they're probably swapping stories.
Yeah, I might have been there. I lived in Tampa near the stadium.
You're too young to have been there in 76. You would have been with
3 years old.
Somebody's shoulders.
Yeah, I might have been on my dad's shoulders watching them cheer.
Anyway, so you...
Sitting next to Ferg. Who knows?
No, you wouldn't want to be sitting next to Ferg. I've seen the picture. It was in the old St. Pete Times. He was at their first victory.
Okay.
And he jumped the fence, he and his buddies, and there's the... He's racing onto the field for the one victory.
Oh, boy.
And he's got it. He's got it in his office. So,
yeah,
we're down at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. As I said, Chris McCain. Let's do a little plug for the book. I did it last week.
Sure.
And I tried to get Tuck here, but he's immersed in basketball, which is great. He's at an AAU like combine or something.
Yeah, you know, he's really blowing up now with the cognitive conditioning work that he's been doing with athletes, the mental training. He's got a handful of pros that have now reached out to him that he started working with.
Well, he's a bright man.
Yeah, a lot of these high school and middle school events that are running now are starting to call on Tuck to come out and at least showcase the things that he's doing. So it's great.
Okay, so remember who you're talking to. So you're throwing in the word cognitive this early in the conversation.
I did. A little early, huh?
Well, let's describe it for any of my dummied down friends in Iowa that are listening, because, you know,
yeah, so
we're old school.
You know, if you look at the history of athletic training, there's really been a focus on two things. Obviously, your skills that are specific to your sport, and then your strength and conditioning. Well, Tuck and I have done a lot of research over the past couple years in a third area, which is now the brain. So your cognitive conditioning, the way you perceive, the way you react, the way your neurons fire, the way that your brain actually controls the body and the behavior, and how you can actually make things more efficient for your particular sport, right? Being able to react. Analogy I like to use a lot is, if you think about some ways that guys used to train agility, you ever seen one of those ladders where guys go in and out of the ladder?
Absolutely.
Like, right. Okay. So that's a typical way that guys train agility, right? But there's no thought to that ladder. It's a static element. You're in and out. You're in and out. What Tuck is doing is adding elements of a dynamic nature. So lights that light up different colors, sticks, tennis balls, colored balls, all these types of things where not only do you have to do a behavior, but you have to think and react within a specific amount of time. So it's interesting. The brain, like anything else in your body, if you push it beyond its comfort zone, it actually gets stronger. And Tuck has realized and figured out ways to do that. And a lot of athletes are seeing tremendous results with the things that he's doing now.
Well, I might need him to come down on the beach and work on my brain. If I would say, nah,
it's not just
that's athletes. That's a hopeless case.
Really, it's not just athletes. You know,
haven't finished your book, but there's a lot of things, and I mentioned this last week. There's a lot of things in that book that any of us could use. And to quote Clint Eastwood, every morning I look in that mirror, I kick the old man out. I don't want to think like I'm an old man.
Right.
And you look in that book, and that's some of the things keeping the gray matter going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So. All right, so your son's done with basketball this year.
Yep. They finished their season.
Yeah, but you finished the high school season. You never finished the season, right?
Yeah, you finish one season, you go to the next. You know, I'm not the type that wants him to you know, grind every single day. So he took a couple weeks off, which is nice. Let his body rest.
Well,
Let his mind relax a little bit. And then he'll, you know, slowly start back up, and then the momentum will pick back up as summer rolls around, and then they'll be in full steam again. So
was he pleased with his season? He's a sophomore, right?
Yeah, he's a sophomore. Yeah, he had a really good season. The team that he played for, Northside Christian. You know, last year I think they had 4 wins or 5 wins. This year they were 13 and 14 was their final, 13 and 15.
That's progress.
Yeah, so they had some good wins. They had some new kids come in. First time they were all playing together. Really young. I think 6 of their first 7 were all sophomores. So, you know, to play.
Bright future.
Yeah, so to play some of the competition that they played with young kids was really good for them. And next year will be even better. You know, they'll play a tougher schedule. And by the time they get to be seniors, these kids will be seasoned and ready to compete at a high level.
So you keep your eye on high school basketball in the state of Florida.
Yes, sir.
All I have seen was the highlights last night from one of the championship games. And you actually went over on Wednesday and you got to see both those teams. Would you share with that you saw and who won the state championship?
Sure, yeah. I was really interested in the 3A class. That's the class that Northside is in. And also because one of the local teams, Bishop McLaughlin, who has a handful of kids that are really, really high-level kids. So I was pulling for them to win. I went over Wednesday. I watched them play Andrew Jackson from Jacksonville.
Now, did he have to change his name?
No. So Andrew Jackson.
From Jacksonville?
Yeah, from Jacksonville.
Andrew, that'd be an announcer's dream.
Yeah. So Andrew Jackson is a school that's been to the state finals I don't know how many times in the past 10 years. I mean, a lot. So they're a really good program. It's a small charter school out of Jacksonville, but they get a lot of really good kids. So they've been there before, and now Bishop is a school where they've probably been there forever, but they got a new head coach. The head coach's son is a high D1 prospect. They had a couple other kids transfer in, so a new program. So they're playing Andrew Jackson, and you could see the difference in these programs when they came out. You know, Andrew Jackson comes out with 16 kids, and they're all wearing their warm-up shirts and their matching shoes, and they've got their warm-up routine.
It looked like a D1 team.
Oh, yeah. And then Bishop McLaughlin rolls out, and some of the kids don't even have their jerseys on, and it's different shoes, and they only have 8 kids. You know, So two totally different ends of the spectrum.
One's a program. The other one's a school.
And the other, and the other one is just a school that they have good kids now.
Yeah, you can play some hoops.
Yeah, and the game started really in Andrew Jackson's favor. I think at the end of the first quarter it was 16-4 at the end of the first quarter. And then second quarter they came out and Manuel Sharp, the kid from Bishop McLaughlin, his dad's the coach, high D1 player. I mean, he could be a pro one day, but I think he went off for 25 in the quarter and ended up with 27 at halftime.
What's he play?
He's a guard. He's a guy. He's 6'4". He's a high school version of James Harden. He's thick. He's strong.
Will he give up the rock? Of course, Harden's been giving it up lately.
You know, he will give up the rock, but I think his teammates know that if they want to win, he has to have it. He's one of those kids. I mean, he shoots from anywhere. He can score on anyone. And he was 21 of 22 from the free throw line in the game.
Where's he going?
So he ended up dropping 40. He hasn't committed anywhere yet.
Well, I know two programs that are not happy with their seasons. And I'm sure that a guy named Mike and a guy named Roy have been to his games.
Yeah. They probably know who this kid is.
Yeah, I think.
You know, so he ended up with 40. They beat Andrew Jackson. I think they beat him pretty handedly. And then yesterday they played a really good team from Fort Lauderdale and Calvary Christian, who's probably got 4 or 5 D1 kids themselves. A couple of kids that transferred from Nova Southeastern University School, NSU School, who didn't have a season this year because of COVID, so kids left. And
they gave them that transfer portal, just like they did in the collegiate level.
Yeah, so they were the benefactor of some of those kids that transferred. So it was, and yesterday's game went into overtime. It was 76-76.
That looked like a heck of a game.
Yeah, went to overtime, and then Calvary must have just put the clamps on them because Bishop didn't score in overtime. And they ended up winning, I think it was 85-76 in overtime. So tough loss.
You think about 10 years ago, if I would have said the portal, opportunity. Anybody know what you're talking about in sports?
No.
Isn't it great,
no.
All these catchphrases? I'm even using it at the opening of the show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stick up with the times. Portal of positivity.
Yeah.
What's a portal? Sounds like a bathroom back in the day.
Yeah. It sounds like from an old David Bowie movie, right?
What was that? that's a good analogy.
There was a movie. I can't remember what it was, but it was a bunch of like small people. Time Bandits. You remember that?
I watched about 1 second of
it. They would go through this portal, right, and jump and play. I think that was the only time I used the word portal until recently.
Well, you're a technology guy. You probably have to keep up with the terminology.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We even have a couple of cheerleaders look at this, in the wings.
They're waiting. In the wings.
We're going to have a party down here like we do each and every Saturday. We're talking with Chris McCain. He's the co-author of Beast Mentality with Tuck Taylor. And
Beast Thinking. Yeah.
You want the mentality.
You want the mentality. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beast Thinking is the title. We actually, funny story, it was going to be Beast Mentality was going to be the title of the book.
You know why I said that? Because Tuck did use the term mentality a lot.
Of course. Yeah. We do use that term.
All right.
More than we use portal.
I mean, my ADD is kicking off on the age deficit disorder, but portal and mentality.
There you go.
Mentality is the part.
You're sounding really smart today.
I knew you were going to be here. My God, I got to raise my freaking game. Are you kidding me?
You got to think about it. You've said cognitive. You've said portal.
I don't know what it means.
Mentality.
I just say them. They sound good.
Hey, that's
so. Then I listen.
90% of it.
I listen to the show and try to figure out. You know, get myself. You know, F. D, C, I haven't got to the B level yet. And then I think, where the hell did I pull that from?
Yeah, well, this is going to be...
Reading.
This is going to be B shows for sure. You're going to get to a B on this one.
Thank you.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, because we got cheerleaders coming on. And then we're going to talk to Joseph Colbert. We're going to start doing the business of sport, too.
Oh, nice.
Good idea.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, some of your projects we'll talk about.
Oh, for sure.
Because...
some good ones.
Well, hey, by the way, I just want to do a little plug for a little buddy of mine up in God's country, Sioux City, Iowa. He's got a show similar to this, but he does his via visual. There's a big reason why I don't. Look at this mug. Now, we are actually...
Yeah, but there's technology now that could actually put a different face on your body.
You think so?
Yeah, you've been working out.
I mean, well, I have been working out. That'd be hideous, too. Well, anyway, this young man has a podcast called In the Crowd, and it's behind-the-scenes conversation with Tyler Vanderloo. He has former players like Bad News Bear. Well, first of all, let me go back and tell you a quick story about Tyler. I told you, I never played hoops. Boxing, track, football, track's not bad. Anyway, we got in a jam. My fifth-grade son... And his buddies, they're kind of a little all-star team.
They're going way back with this one.
Yeah, they went down to Ames, to the Iowa games. I had the coach. The other parents are doing it. It's Thanksgiving weekend. I've got five players. I don't have anybody.
Coaching hoops?
Yeah, coaching hoops.
Okay.
Fifth grade, Iowa games, indoor facility at Iowa State University. So, and we're playing one of the best teams. You know, you know all these teams. You know how it works.
Okay.
You know who's loaded, who's not. And here I show up with, you know, the team you talked about. These guys don't even have the same jerseys on. One's dad's a coach. My son's immersed. You know, so we had quite a mix. This little, I can say this on the air, this little jackass doesn't listen to me. And we're actually taking this team down to the wire. Coming down. It's a tie game. I want him to go inside. We had a big guy. He comes behind, hits half court, looks over at me, does the behind-the-back dribble, launches it, and hits it.
Oh, boy.
And we win.
Well.
So he's always had a set of nads ever since then.
Maybe he knew this was your first time coaching. And whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do the opposite.
Precisely. We were the Bad News Bears. But anyway, Tyler, he has actually gets some great personalities. He has JBLS. Trey Wingo, good time to talk today to Trey. I saw him today trying to pick his teams. The Bucs Super Bowl quarterback, you remember Brad Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got him on. And then super fan Marion Man. He has a lot of Midwest guests, you know, Chuck Longs of the world, a lot of people. So anyway, give In the Crowd a listen. It's available on Spotify and Apple Podcast, and just a great young man. If you ever need me as an assistant coach on any of your
Send me your resume.
One and done? I was a great sponsor.
Will that be your resume? It's just a sheet of paper with one line.
It wouldn't even be a sheet of paper. It'd just be a note card.
Maybe a napkin.
Yeah, I'll do it right now. Yeah, okay. I'll write it up for you.
I'll put it in my pocket.
Anyway, so do you do any of the coaching now? You did when they were younger.
I did when they were younger. Actually, I coached my younger son's middle school team this year. But now with my older son, I don't. I kind of like being dad. Actually, I like being cameraman because cameraman keeps me really quiet during the games because I don't want to hear myself in the camera. So I like to film the games.
I had an incident one time. A cameraman was right next to me, and he's one of those obnoxious dads you don't want to come to a youth basketball game. And my son's team was just, I mean, it was one-sided, just lopsided. I'm standing next to this guy. In my show, we used to talk about positive perspective and letting kids participate, blah, 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 blah. So I've got all this sports connection gear. I used to call people out on the air. I'm up in Sioux City at a tournament, and this guy's got his own video camera on. His poor kid can't – we're pressing, which is ridiculous. We pulled the press off after that. And the kid can't get the ball in. This old man is screaming at this kid.
No,
I want to jack him right there.
Yeah.
And finally, I my ex-wife tapped me on the shoulder. You got to say something to him. So the game's over, and I just went and tapped him on the shoulder. I go, hey, pal, I want you to go home and turn that video on, let your wife hear it, and your son, because you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked away. That guy would see me at tournaments for years, and he'd walk away.
I will say that.
So video, man, it does put a little muzzle on you.
It does. Well, it does on me. But
yeah, your son probably enjoys it.
I will say this. The majority of teams that I see in youth travel basketball have one of those guys that you're talking about. And it just makes me think this is the youth basketball circuit is a money grab for the people running.
Precisely.
B, it's a chance for either the parents or the coaches to live vicariously through their kids.
I know that word. I used to use that all the time.
And then there's C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y. And then Z is kids. Like, it's the last thing on anybody's mind.
Exactly.
Is the kids.
And it's been that way for decades.
It is terrible, man.
Is
terrible.
It bad down here?
Oh, it's bad
everywhere.
Oh, yeah. My younger son, who's sixth grade, we played in a tournament last week, and there was a coach, and there was a girl playing on the team. This girl was a heck of a basketball player. And her dad, I guess, was up in the rafters and said something to her. And so she turns to look at the dad and say something back. And the coach just starts dropping F-bombs, grabs her jersey, pulls her off the floor, subs somebody in and says, if you can't pay attention, you're not playing F.
The coach?
The coach does this to the girl.
What grade?
Who was the sixth grade, who was talking to her dad. Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Now that's pathetic.
It was bad. And we've played this team numerous times. They have like five different names that they go under. And this coach, I mean, he's crazy, man. It's unbelievable. He coaches for himself. He's not coaching for the kids. He's coaching for the glory of his victories in sixth grade youth basketball.
Here's what some friends of mine did in Des Moines. They had issues like this, and they ran the league for years. And they were officials. They officialed at the Division I collegiate level. But later in their life, they decided they wanted to do this. If that incident would have happened, they stopped the game. The game's over. It's a forfeit. The other team gets the ball.
I would love it.
They forfeit all the past games, and they're on a two-game suspension before they can come back.
Yeah.
You think the other parents don't want to kill them and the kids?
I know.
And then the poor kid, because the rest of the kids can't stand him.
Right.
Your dad did this to us.
Exactly. Yeah.
They haven't had an incident. It's called the CBA, Clyde Basketball Association.
Here's why that doesn't happen is because remember reason A?
Cash.
It's a money grab for the people.
I don't care.
Can you? No, listen, I'm with you. And if I was in a position to be able to run tournaments like that, I would have kicked the guy out the first time it happened. You're not coming back to any of my tournaments, ever. Like, if you want to come back as a parent and sit there in silence, you can, but you're not coaching in anything. So.
That's one of the most heinous I've ever heard.
It's bad. Like, this guy is a clown. And what's funny to me is you see these coaches who are going crazy, and you think, oh, well, they're just super competitive. Listen, my kid just spent 2 days playing at IMG against some post-grad teams being coached by NBA champ and NCAA champ Maurice Spates. And this dude is as calm as you could be. And if you tell me he's not competitive, You are absolutely right. You don't have to be a maniac.
Ballers don't have to.
You don't have to be a maniac to be competitive. You don't have to act that way to be competitive. You can be a good coach and not be a nut job on the sidelines.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection here on RadioSt.Pete.com. I got to do a quick plug. I don't know if you saw the paper this week, but 96.7 FM and RadioSt.Pete.com. We got the FCC authorization now, that Joe Berdow and the ownership group now have complete control. I'll probably be booted off the airwaves now that they have complete control. But
nonsense.
I'm gonna try my dangest to stay on.
We'll start a petition.
Okay. I've won?
Well, I'll sign it first.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, maybe Ferg will too.
My mom.
Anyway, this is a great story. The FCC gave the approval. And, of course, I mentioned before, 96.7 is all local music. It's really cool. And now we're going to have a lot of energy on this side, RadioSt.Pete.com and 96, to cross-promote. And I've got a couple of things up my sleeve that we're going to launch as well. So,
great.
Exciting times. Actually, since that article came out, our listening audience has doubled this week and set a record, according to Joe. And I'm certain those are facts.
Great.
Well, there's Joseph. See that good-looking hat, St. Pete Sports Connection?
I see it.
Hey, Joe, introduce yourself to those young ladies. They're going to be on right before you. That's what we're going to talk the business of sport.
Nice.
Now let's go back to basketball. Okay. Give me a little brief on IMG. Is it that cool?
It is.
It should be. You talk about the almighty dollar. Should be cool.
85 grand a year. It better be cool, right? The facilities are world-class. Like, you don't get any better for a high school level facility than what you get at IMG. And I'm kind of torn between it because, you know, as a kid, you think going there would be this phenomenal opportunity. But I think it really depends on your work ethic. If you go there with the intention of taking advantage of every opportunity you could have, then you could leave there tremendously successful with what you do. If you're going because, you know, mom and dad want to send you away to school, and it's just a place to be. You know,
prep school.
Yeah, you and I talked about, you know, you get homesick, you don't want to be there, then it's not a great experience to be, you know. But it is a phenomenal place when you look at the environment and what they have and really what they have the capability to do. And they're actually one of the places that I found that do, at least in name, focus on skills, strength and conditioning, and the mental side. So they do a lot. Or have a lot of opportunities for kids from a mental health perspective.
Well, if Tuck didn't have his own business already, it might be a great place for him to land.
Yeah, it is. You know, a funny story. My son has gone down there a few times for camps.
I bet those are cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I bought one at an auction. So it was.
I used to trade out for camps. Maybe we can cut a deal.
Yeah, right.
I'll trade out for your boy.
Yeah. So he goes down there for a camp, and he gets invited back to come to a weekend. It was a free weekend, but the parents had to go to a session and listen, right? Kind of a recruiting thing, like, hey, this is IMG, and this is how much it costs.
Like a condominium timeshare.
Exactly, like buying a timeshare, except this was $85,000 a year for the next 6 years.
Not $250,000.
More than his college would cost. But anyway, so, you know, they're going through all their stuff, and they start talking about all of the mental training that they do. And this is during a period of time where I was writing this book and doing all this research. So at the end of the session, the presenter says, does anybody have any questions? And my wife goes, don't you dare raise your hand. And I couldn't help myself. So I raised my hand. So I ask a question. The guy kind of perks up like, oh, okay. So he answers the question. Anybody else have any
questions? The last thing he expected was somebody to...
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's probably not used to anybody asking questions, right? So here I am in the audience, probably one of the foremost experts on, you know, cognitive conditioning and sports science when it comes to...
You're not just some parent schlub.
Yeah. And I ask my question, and he kind of answers the question, but not really answers the question. And then he stops. And so I raise my hand again. She's like, oh, no. Like, I can hear her.
Did she start moving away from you?
Oh, man. It was hilarious.
She excused herself, go to the restroom?
I probably asked another four or five questions after that. Like, parents all around were looking at me. Like, so
come on, dude. We want to move on.
Yeah.
Hey, you
got to
make
them out of here.
Hey, you
got to
make them work for their money.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, yeah, it's a great facility. It's a great facility.
All right. Now, you talked about the level of Division I talent. Can we talk a little college hoops and March
well,
Madness?
Actually, you know what? Before we talk about college hoops, there's something I read this week, and I don't know if you saw it, but I think it's interesting. We should probably talk about it. So are you familiar with the Instagram account Overtime?
No, but I probably should be.
Okay, so Overtime is an extremely popular Instagram. We've got social media. Okay, yeah, completely yeah. social media.
I'm getting there. Did you see some of my stuff? I'm getting there.
Yeah. So Overtime, very, very powerful, very popular social media that covers basketball. And they cover a lot of the high school athletes that are very good and very popular among kids. Well, they just announced this week that they're actually starting a league for 30 high school kids that they're going to pay $100,000 per kid for this league, ages 16 to 18. So basically, their proposition is...
It's called Overtime?
Overtime Elite is the name of the league, but Overtime is the name of the social media account. So
there goes the NCAA model.
Wait, so listen, they're basically taking that G League model, but bringing it lower into 16 to 18-year-olds. So here's the deal. If you're willing to give up your high school eligibility and your college eligibility, you get to play in this league. You get paid $100,000. It's going to be in one location, so sort of like the NBA bubble was.
Bubble was in Orlando.
Year,
right? Yep.
They haven't said what the location's going to be, but you get paid your $100,000. You do get an education, so they are going to have some classes. So for kids that, you know, necessarily don't get to that next level professionally from a basketball standpoint, who want to go to college, they'll still have the requirements that are needed to go to college.
But oh, good.
They won't have college eligibility, right? But they'll be able to go to college.
And that's because they got paid.
And that's because
they got paid. And this will go to court, you know, in the next decade. All this, you know, is going to end up, it's all going to be pay for play.
It is, and here's what I think is going to happen. And
it's going to be Europe.
And I have mixed feelings about this too, because I feel like some of the kids are just going to get exploited. They're going to be kids who really aren't going to be good enough to make a living professionally long term, but they're going to take this $100,000 because think about it, they're kids right now. If you pay them $100,000, that's more than their parents might be making.
Oh, easily,
right?
A lot of kids.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
lot of kids. Probably the majority of the kids.
Yeah. So it's I'm interested to see how this flushes out, and
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I did read, and again, I don't know the details of all this, but I did read that not only are they getting the $100,000, but if they don't go pro, that this Overtime Elite is willing to actually pay their college. So if they're willing to do that,
that I wouldn't mind.
Right. Now, okay. Now we're talking about, okay, maybe you do care about
the
kids.
They are kidding about the kid.
And now you're trying to give them an opportunity at a younger age to develop and to train and do things like that. But if it doesn't work, you're still giving them this plan B that is not out of their own pocket. So
that's
Chris, how it works.
That's Chris McCain. I'm Mike Rickard, and we're talking hoops here. And on St. Pete Sports Connection, let's go back to that topic. So you know as well as I do, development of any athlete or human being is staged differently. So like you said, you're going to have some kid at 16, it's an absolute monster,
yep,
destroying people, and they bring him into the scene, and then the other kids blow by him.
Yeah.
So they've got an out potentially, so that they will pay for his education.
Way, yeah, if that's the way.
Because you could see that happening.
Yeah, you can. And I think they have to be highly selective. I mean, obviously it's only 30 kids, so they're probably going to be highly selective. But you really need those kids like you're talking about, where the kids who are at a really young age above and beyond everybody else, and what they need to get to that next level is the structure and rigidity of daily strength and conditioning, daily mental training, daily skills training, you know, those types of things. Because maybe, you know, for every kid, it's not academics that's going to drive them. Not every kid
without a shadow of a doubt.
Program,
yeah.
You know?
And that's what I do. We talked about the G League model a couple weeks ago. And I do like that model, that the new one they're coming out with.
The Ignite?
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
I think that's a good solution for these kids. They just don't want to go to college.
Yeah.
They're not quite a lottery pick.
Right.
They don't want to go to Europe.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to Australia. I mean, that's where they're going to get paid. And so I think this is a nice option for them.
Here's what I'm thinking, though. And this is where I think it could get dangerous.
What G League model?
No.
The high school kid.
This new Overtime Elite League.
Yeah.
What happens when, you know, XYZ business entrepreneur in Tampa or St. Pete says, "Hey, I want to get in your league. I'm gonna find 10 kids in my area and I'm gonna pay them $60,000 to get in your league." And then somebody
that
else
could happen, like, all over America.
Yeah, and then this thing starts happening, and now you really don't have the control because it's getting too big.
How would you like to be a high school coach if that becomes prevalent? You might as well get to another sport.
Yeah, and
might as well retire.
We're talking about we're still talking about a small subset of kids. So if you look at the G League and you look at this high school thing, between the G League and the high school thing, we're talking about 60 kids, right? 60 kids total. And really, on the other side of the spectrum, you're saying, okay, these 60 kids are giving up college eligibility. That just means there's 60 scholarships that will go to somebody else, right? But when you start to grow it exponentially, I fear now you put it in the hands of people that you may not necessarily know enough to maintain the integrity of the program as being kids first.
And you brought it up. There will be people across the country looking at it as a cash grab for themselves.
Yeah.
And then they'll go and get sponsors at their regional level.
Exactly. Right? I mean,
that's what will happen. Yeah. They'll monetize it in some capacity.
You go find five or six local sponsors. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. We're getting this league. Look how much cash it's drawing. We'll find 10 local kids. We'll pay them each 60 grand. That's 600 grand, but we'll bring in 4 million.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
So that's what scares me, is that you won't be able to contain that growth. And,
well, you know, it's entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, it is.
And they will take advantage. Yeah. All right. And this is a fun topic because of how you met your bride, and it's March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
A week from tomorrow is Selection Sunday. I remember when they announced that the tournament wasn't going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you probably had 50 million depressed males across America.
Sure.
Because it's just it's a great – I don't care if you're not a basketball fan. It's a great time of year.
It is. It really is. It's a lot of fun. Teams that you don't know, kids that you haven't heard of, just watching these games and seeing.
And they become household names, and then they make the Murrays of the world from Murray State.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a wonderful story.
University of Maryland, Baltimore, UMBC that beat Virginia, right?
We could go on. Well, even Steph Curry.
Yeah,
Davidson.
Absolutely.
Everybody else in the world knew who he was, but the average American that doesn't watch basketball until March Madness, who's this kid?
Yeah.
Well, now he's all world.
Yeah.
And I went over the top 25. Now, in your book, who do you think the preeminent favorite is to win it all? I don't think there is one.
Oh, there definitely is one.
Michigan?
No. Gonzaga.
Have
you watched them play this year?
I watched them beat my Hawkeyes. Of course I've watched them.
Yeah, they were playing last time.
But their schedule.
No, listen, last time we were on the radio.
They were getting ready to play them.
No, they were playing and they were beating them bad, remember?
I don't want to talk about it. It was when we were down here. You're right.
Yeah.
I kept looking up.
But remember, the good news was Louisville was getting spanked even worse, so that wasn't the worst drubbing
of the day.
Listen, I've watched Gonzaga. I mean, prior to this year, I've probably seen Gonzaga play twice. This year, I've watched four or five games. They are really good. I don't care what you say about that conference that they're in. They've been playing some good teams, and they've been beating them.
Well, and I will say this. There's some benefit to being in a soft conference and a soft schedule. They're not beat to hell by the time, I'll just use Iowa, number five in the country. They've got two key pieces of their team out. Well, there's teams across the country. Villanova just lost one of their key pieces.
Yep.
So when you're playing that soft of a schedule, you don't put as much wear and tear. And you're ready to roll.
I think this year, though, their schedule's been tougher than most years. I mean, they played Kansas. They played Iowa.
And Sioux Falls, South Dakota, of all places.
Yeah, unfortunately, their Baylor game was canceled because that would have been
the biggest
game of the year with one versus two. But I don't know. I just look at their pieces, and I think Gonzaga is my clear favorite to win the tournament.
Now, I know people in the South don't like to admit this, but you have to absolutely agree with me. Well, you don't have to. That Big Ten is absolutely loaded, and they play defense in the Big Ten.
For sure. Yeah, I will never argue against the fact that when you look outside of – or when you look at Florida, we are not a basketball state.
Well, Leonard Hamilton will argue with that. He's been there 19 years, and he's had incredible success. I applaud him. And that way, all these –
But you think their games are sold out?
No, these Seminole fans –
as good as they get. Listen, even with Florida won back-to-back championships, and I still don't know that every game sold out when they were
the Billy Donovan days?
Yeah. You know,
it is a football state without a shadow of a doubt.
Listen, Wednesday I'm at the state tournament, and there was maybe
where was that at in Orlando?
In Lakeland. It's been in Lakeland forever.
Is Lakeland the home of Publix?
Maybe 200 people.
Is that the home of Publix?
Their headquarters are right down the road from the arena. The Lakeland Magic play in the arena.
Yeah.
The RP Funding Center is what it's called. But yeah, it's not a basketball state. Like we don't, you know, in Indiana. They get more people
North Carolina.
In a regular season home game for a high school than we get at the state championship.
Well, and I've been to Indiana several times and gone to a couple games just to get that flavor. I went to where Hickory played back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and that was...
You can actually go there these days. It's like a tourist spot where you can go.
Oh, yeah. All those classic, iconic movies.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, Field of Dreams in Iowa. You can go to Dyersville.
I'll tell you, the first time I even walked in... to my wife's old high school and saw just the size of this.
Where's she from?
Crown Point, Indiana.
Really?
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
You married a Hoosier.
Yeah. It was like heaven to me. Well, yeah. You know, I couldn't not marry somebody who was in love with the game of basketball. Although I didn't know it when I met her, but.
Well, you had to have known. You were out in Vegas with your buddies, letting your hair down and a little March Madness in the sports book. Nothing better. I did it one time. Not a big gambler, but I just wanted to say you got out all those televisions. Of course, now look at the sports bars. You got pretty much the same opportunities. But you didn't back when I went.
Right.
And you're sitting there and you're just in heaven. There's a different game on every screen. Guys are up at the window. Just the energy and the excitement.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, betting on teams, you have no idea who they are.
Oh, hell no. You're looking at the odds. You're trying to figure out, you know, odds. I pick up the New York Post every day. And the funny thing about the Post, well, even CBS Sports now, they're all embedded in gambling.
Oh, yeah.
You watch CBS Sports, and they're doing analysis every game. They're talking over and under, the best bets of the day.
Yeah.
I leave it glued on just because it's intriguing to me. And New York City, of course, in Jersey, big gambling hub, and they've got the odds every day on every game, soccer, everything.
Yeah.
Tonight's UFC fight.
You can see it on ESPN now. Like, you go to the apps, you can see what the spreads are on these things. I need to talk to Ferg about opening up a sports book.
No,
here in the corner.
Well, we'll be partners. I'll be down here. You didn't want to.
You be the enforcer.
You create all the algorithms. You do all that with your background, and then I'll be the marketer, and then I'll get the bodyguards down here.
There you go. Sounds like a good plan.
That'd be cool, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one day it's going to happen, right? You're going to
without a shadow.
You're going to have.
They should have just legalized it across the country.
Yeah.
These hypocrites. They've had state lotteries for hundreds of years, but we can't have gambling. It's like my attitude on marijuana. You know, I'm not a weed guy, but. It's legal here, wherever it's legal, legalized across the country. Everybody wins financially.
Yeah. We're spending more time, you know, trying to figure out whether it should or shouldn't or fighting it than if we just said, you know what, go for it.
All right. Well, there's a big game today. And this is kind of, you know, I was fortunate enough to meet on several occasions Roy Williams when he was at Kansas. And he came up to Iowa and raided our floor. I told you guys that, you know. He took Nikki Collison, you know, he took Heinrich, Harrison. I could go on and on and on. When you got the North Carolina. But that's a big game today, Duke and North Carolina. I don't care. I mean, they're both on the outside looking in, which doesn't break my heart. I like to see some new blood get in there.
No, you're right. You're right.
Some new blood. But that's still, I don't care what anyone says, that's still a huge game today on the college scene.
Would you say that's the biggest rivalry game at any level?
Basketball wise, you mean?
No. Any sport?
No.
What's bigger?
Well, I think Ohio State, Michigan's up there a little bit, and I could care less for
in
either
football?
I could care for either team. You just want to go basketball?
No. I'm trying to think any sport. Ohio State, Michigan is a big one. But the problem is, Michigan's been getting spanked.
It's still an unbelievable rivalry. It used to be that the Red River Shootout was Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah, that's a big one, too. That's a big one. Yeah, there's some other big ones.
But North Carolina and Duke has got to be in the top three.
Yeah, I would say.
And they're so close together.
Yeah.
I think it's 17 miles.
I think that's part of what makes it so big is that they're right down the street from each other. And then if you look at the wins, they're neck and neck. Like, there's no one clear winner over the long term from the other. It's almost dead even over all the years, which is crazy.
Which is... the why it's so great.
Yeah.
One more. People are crazy. Alabama, Auburn.
Yeah, that is a big one, too.
Yeah. I mean, that state doesn't have a professional football or a professional team
anything.
Of any anything.
Anything, yeah.
It's just a bunch of hicks. Oh, I shouldn't say. It's just a bunch of rural people, a couple of big communities, and then Roll Tide, and then Auburn Tigers.
Remember when they beat him on that
return field goal? Return kickoff?
No, it was field goal.
Field goal, yeah.
Yeah, he caught the field goal.
I think that was 2007 or 8. I was in my basement by myself just going freaking nuts because I thought it was just hilarious.
I remember that because I thought the game was over. And I was living in a townhouse like up north, a little bit north of here. My next door neighbor was a huge Auburn fan. And I walked out the house taking the dog out, and I hear them start screaming. And I'm like, what could have just happened? I left and Alabama was winning. And, so I missed the whole thing. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm getting the cheerleaders lined up here.
Yeah. So I missed the whole ending of that game. But
you missed it?
Yeah, I walked out to take the dog out. My neighbor was an Auburn fan, and I hear his whole family screaming.
You think somebody got shot?
The next day, they toilet papered their tree outside their house.
It's called teepee. Yeah. Teepeeing.
Yeah, teepeeing. They teepeed it.
So you're going chalk. Gonzaga?
I'm going Gonzaga.
Ranked number one all year long, and you think they'll win it all?
I do.
I tell you what, if Michigan's on, they're a young team. But Howard's an incredible coach, and I'm telling you right now.
He is.
They play D.
Yeah.
And they're young. They're going to be a force to be dealt with the next 2-3 years. Well, I think as long as he's the coach.
He's really not good.
He's not doing a Harbaugh.
No.
He's coming in and making a statement as an alum.
Yeah. And I love that decision for him to go back there. I saw his other son yesterday, Jet Howard. He plays at IMG.
I'm sure he's horrible.
Oh man.
He's like how big is he?
He's 6'8". He's a beast, an absolute beast. When he was in eighth
grade. What's his name? Jet?
Jet Howard.
I love that. Benny and the Jet.
Yeah. When he was in eighth grade, my older son was in seventh grade, and my son's team was they played for the same program. So it was Nike Team Florida. Jet was on the 8th grade team. My son was on the 7th grade team. But they were in the same tournament, and there weren't enough 7th grade teams, so they put my son's team in the 8th grade. Well, the two teams met in the finals, and we got absolutely shellacked by 40 or so. They had a really good team. They had they had Jet, and then they had the Carey kid, you know, Vernon Carey that went to Duke and then got picked by the Charlotte. His younger brother.
His amazing genetics.
Yeah, he was gigantic.
Iowa has a couple of twin brothers, the Murray boys, and they were down there for a while, and they're playing for Iowa right now, and they're doing a really solid job. One doesn't get as many minutes, but, you know.
I wonder how big Garza's parents are.
They're pretty. I got some pictures of you.
Wouldn't it be crazy if his dad was like 5'10"?
No. His dad's actually, he'll look like his dad when he gets older. And great family, just passionate. Very appreciative. If nothing else, you know, player of the year, but role model of the year too.
Yeah, I like watching him.
He makes a lot of appearances at the Iowa Children's Hospital. Remember during the football games,
they
turn around and wave. Garza is just a great kid, great role model. I say that one thing about McCaffrey's squad. Those kids are all good human beings that you'd be proud to date your daughter or come over.
I would love if my kid went to Iowa. He could play for Fran any day.
Well, maybe we'll start working on that.
That's a great program.
Hey, speaking of your son, does he have aspirations for D1?
He'd like to. I mean, he just wants to play at the next level, and he wants to work hard and see where it gets him. So he's not putting pressure on himself like some kids.
Well, you won't let that happen, especially if you keep being the videographer. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So he's not worried about the rankings and all. He just wants to work hard and see what happens. You know, he'll put himself in a position that if it happens, great. If he plays D2, he plays D2, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? He's playing.
He's playing.
My son was fortunate to play NAIA 4 years of football. Started as a freshman. 4 years. He could have gone maybe and walked on at D1A like you and I. Mm-hmm. And been a practice dummy for 2-3 years. But when you're accustomed to playing, go play. Enjoy your collegiate time.
Yep.
Get memories for a lifetime. And he played the national championship.
Yeah.
And so all these parents that are just focused on my son needs to play D1.
Kids need to learn how to use athletics to their benefit. And if that means you use
not their parents.
Use it to go get the education you want, great. Do that. Right? If you want to go to a big D1 school because they have a great alumni and they have the program that you want for the field you want to be in, then use it, right? Use it to your benefit.
Well, you You and Tuck collaborated on your book. Let's give it another plug.
Yep, Beast Thinking, available on beastthinking.com, or actually not on beastthinking.com because I'm moving the website over, so it's probably not up, but it is available on Amazon. So you can pick it up on Amazon.
All right, and the last question I have, are you putting together any kind of a March Madness?
Yeah, of course you want me to put one together.
What would you call it? Bracketology?
Did you even talk about that on the air at all?
Go ahead.
Did you?
No.
Are you serious? You didn't?
I've kept it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Since you're here.
I'm going to say it.
Okay. All right.
So I put together a Super Bowl squares pool, and I send out text messages to all my friends. Hey, you know, it's $20.
And we just met like a month before, six weeks before.
Yeah, exactly. $20 a square, you know, if you want to buy a square. And so there was a couple squares left, so I'm like, all right, let me post it to Facebook. And sure enough, you know, Mike's the first one.
Talking about me.
Mike's the first one. He's like, yeah, give me a square. Give me a square. How many did you buy? Did you buy
two?
Two squares.
So I had a $40 investment.
Yeah, $40 investment. He buys two squares, right? So every quarter, the scores determine the winner. So first quarter winner got $100. Second quarter winner got $100. Third quarter winner is Mike. He wins $300, right?
And I'll interject. So I was with family and friends, and I look and I go, cool, I won $300. Then I kept watching the game. Okay,
yeah.
Continue.
So he wins his $300.
I was ecstatic, actually, over $300.
Yeah, so he wins his $300. And, of course, I'm getting text messages from my friends after every quarter. Who's this? Who's this? Who's this, right?
Who's this clown you let in?
Listen, the first quarter winner was a guy who bought one square, who I work with, right? Not really in my circle.
Your circle of trust.
Second quarter winner, another guy who bought one square. Again, not really in my circle. Somebody who lives in Tennessee. Then you win the third quarter. Then, of course, the fourth quarter's coming. Nobody scores. Then we're getting midway through the fourth quarter. Nobody scores. Now I'm getting text messages like, are you effing kidding me? This guy's going to win again? Who is this guy? So anyway, you end up winning what?
$1,700.
$1,700. So now this guy's asking me.
$40.
$1,700. Now he's asking me if I'm doing a March Madness pool. Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you get one together?
I am going
to
get one together.
Want me to pay you now? So. I still got a slush fund. I got $1,700.
You're playing with house money, man. Of course you could do it.
Exactly. So we were watching, you know, we were on the Intercoastal, and we're all watching the fireworks go off, and I'm not really paying attention. And I look at my girlfriend, and I see $1,700. I go, does that say $1,700?
Yeah.
I said, I think I just won $1,700 on squares.
You sure did.
Oh, yeah. I thought, and I said right away, because, you know, back in Iowa, you had your circle of friends. I thought, every one of these guys, who is this SOB that gets into our deal and takes our cash?
They're like, who's Mike? We don't know a Mike. Who's Mike? He's like, I know Mike. He just won $1,700.
Yeah. Anytime you want to get me involved in anything, my man, I'm in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, as usual, it's great to see you again. We got to get Tuck down here when things slow down a little bit for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Then I'll have to get a thesaurus. If I've got both of you at the same time, I'll need a thesaurus so I can communicate.
There you go. We'll make
sure
we
define mental notes of some of the words you used today.
Good deal.
All right.
Good deal. Thanks for having me, Mike. Appreciate
Thanks, Chris.
It.
All right. Hand that mic over to we'll start with Lynn. You can put those headphones on, ladies, so you can hear yourself. Yeah. Hand it to Lynn. You can just sit where Chris is.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk a little Bucks. I see Mark Ferguson had to make certain he got over. And all right, my man, have a great weekend. Again, Chris McCain and he and my buddy Tuck Taylor work with a lot of kids all over the country. You better get that beverage.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, this is I've been looking forward to this, and I want to thank Barry Smith. And of course, he played at Florida State. He was All-State and out of Miami. And then he played at Green Bay, my Packers. And then he just, turn that on there, dear, and we'll be good to go. Yep.
It's on.
Perfect. And then he came down here in 1976, and he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he's been helping me. He's actually going to probably turn into my producer because he's bringing me all this talent. And the first guest he brings me are former cheerleaders. And Lynn told me to use that term. So I want to welcome Lynn Munoz and Becky Williams. Thank you, ladies, for coming down to Ferg's. It's always a great time at Ferg's. Have you been here before?
I have. It's a beautiful place. We love it. We love it here.
Now let's do a little bio on you, and then we'll do one on Becky.
Okay.
Tell people where you grew up at and where you're from and your youth until you became, is it swashbucklers?
Well, Swashbucklers back in the day, and now they are Tampa Bay Buccaneer cheerleaders.
What happened to Swashbucklers? You got to lobby to get that name back.
I don't know. Well, we still have it.
That's pretty bland. The Green Bay Packer cheerleaders. The Tampa Bay cheerleaders. Come on, you got to have something unique.
We were the Swashbucklers, right, Becky?
Yes, we were.
I like that. All right, so give our audience a little background of you and then how you migrated to becoming a swashbuckler.
It was quite a journey. But, no, I was born and raised in Tampa. So I am from Tampa, raised in Tampa, and actually started with the Rowdies, for Tampa Bay Rowdies.
What, the Rowdies were around?
Yes. Yes.
They've been playing soccer down here a long time, haven't they? I don't mean it to be long, but in the Midwest, soccer didn't make its evolution until the late 80s and 90s, but down here.
Yeah, right. So prior to us getting the franchise in Tampa for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a lot of our former swashbucklers were with the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So
that's the soccer team, folks, for you if you're listening across the country. That's the soccer team, and they still exist, and they're very successful.
Right. My era was with Rodney Marsh. And anyway, so in 1976, when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise was awarded to Tampa, in the Tampa Bay Tribune at the time, they were having tryouts, and so I decided to try out.
Now, were you a football fan then?
I have always been a football fan. My father was a big Green Bay Packers fan.
My man.
Yes, and then also Tampa, back in the day, the University of Tampa had a football team.
Now they just have baseball, I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
Back in the day, my dad was like a big Leon McQuay was the big guy with the University of Tampa. We had a great football team.
Really? That's some history I didn't know about.
You did not?
No.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You got a fan club here, ladies.
Yes. Oh, hi kids. Hi. That is that's my workout coach in Tampa.
Really?
Hi, Anna. She's wonderful.
And she's got her little bodyguard with her today.
Yes, she does.
All right, so you went from the Rowdies. Now, did you know anything about soccer? Because I still don't know a whole lot about soccer at my age. It wasn't big in the Midwest then.
No, you know what? I did not. And that's one of the reasons. I was only there for a year. And once Tampa Bay, when the football team was coming and they said, hey, we want cheerleaders, that was in 1976. So, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, I mean, they were on the Love Boat. It was a big deal back then, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Of course I do. I mean, well, I hate to say this, but some of them were on Playboy. I don't know how I'd know that.
Oh, we can talk about that later. Playboy actually
approached you guys?
Oh, yeah, I was one of the three that they took pictures of, so we can talk about that a little later.
Okay, we'll continue this conversation. Now you got everybody's ears perked up out there in the audience as we talk about the Tampa Bay Swashbucklers, two lovely ladies that came down today to join me. And we do want to thank Barry Smith. I know that he's up at Florida State, he and his lovely bride.
Oh,
they've got
him.
Their name on the soccer complex up there. And because he's just a avid fan of Florida State for obvious reasons. And so is Ferg. Is that the first time you met Mark when you guys were just chatting?
Absolutely. That is.
Becky's met him before.
You've met him before?
Okay, so you had the tryouts. How many people tried out for the original? This was 1976, is that right?
In 1976. That is interesting. In 1976, we had 100... and or so people try out for the first tryout, and they chose 10 women, and we had to have a second tryout.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Pretty competitive.
Well, evidently.
No shortage of lovely ladies in this area.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if they could get 100 together in the entire state of Iowa where I'm from.
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding. There's some beautiful women there.
Yes, there are.
We just don't get to see as much of them because of the frigid temperatures, if you catch my drift.
Well, my French bulldog was originally from Iowa, and they shipped him down here. So.
Well, you should send him back. We have a thing called the Drake Relays, and Drake University mascot is the Bulldogs, and they have the beautiful Bulldog Contest. Oh. If he's got Iowa roots, you need to take him home.
Oh, no.
I can get it set up. What's his name?
Big Gino.
Big Gino's got to go back to Des Moines, and he's got to be involved in the beautiful Bulldog Contest. I'll get a hold of him. It's the end of April. That would be a hoot.
Oh.
You'd enjoy it.
Oh, he's a sweetheart. He's 2 years old.
Yeah. Well, Big Gino needs to go to Des Moines.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about this afterwards. We'll talk about Playboy, and we'll talk about Big Gino.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So,
after the
went down to 10.
After the 10 women made it, then we had another tryout, and we had to get the squad to a reasonable group of good dancers. Because, you know, cheerleading is not really cheerleading in the pro NFL. In the NFL, we are all dancers. So, yes, we got another, we made the squad 25 people.
It's choreography, it's dancing, it's it's just not stand up with your pom-poms and your beauty speaks for itself. I mean, there's a lot of work.
I have never been a cheerleader. I was always a dancer, so... You know.
Well, and then you got on a stage, and that was, what was the old stadium?
Oh my goodness, the old Sombrero.
Sombrero, yeah.
Yes.
So then you had a great audience. All right. Now, Coach McKay was the coach then, right?
Yes.
Now Barry has said that Coach McKay was a tough dude to play for. Did you guys ever have any interaction with him? He's just old school.
Yeah, he was. And in 1976, I didn't, but I'm going to hand this one to Becky because she actually left us, and I'll let her tell her story about the coaching situation.
All right, so now we're going to pass it over to Becky Williams, another former swashbuckler. Thanks
Hi,
for coming down today. And,
Thank you.
Mark made his presence known. I told him to come over and meet the ladies before he put you on the air.
He did.
So you... How many years were you a swashbuckler?
I was a swashbuckler for 1 year, 1978.
And you were 6 years, started in 76.
Yes. And I applied with a friend on a whim and made it, much to my disbelief. And I was not a very good dancer because back then it was different. It was different. It was more classical and trained and ballet and jazz, and I had none of that. But Mary May... the director choreographer, and to this day, the woman embraced me and kept me on the squad, which was amazing, amazing that she did that. And to this day, she is still my angel. But, you know, and then after that, I worked in the press box, literally in the press box for all the Buck games.
Did you really?
And I also worked front office for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, really?
And back to the original question, I had a very good friend that was Coach McKay's secretary, and I went to high school with her brother. So I was able to go back into the area where nobody was allowed to go. And I want to tell you, Coach McKay was amazing. He was personable. He was sweet. He was nice.
He was old school, wasn't he?
But he allowed me to be back there, and I had no reason to ever be back there. But he allowed me to be back there, and he was an amazing man. He really was.
And then his son came into the
Richie.
Yeah, Richie.
Yeah.
Well, you have a very broad Bucks background.
I do. I had a really good time.
You can tell us the rest of the stories.
I could tell so many stories.
Which we won't do that on this portal of positivity. A lot of them probably humorous that you'd like to share, but you still don't out of respect.
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely.
Barry and I shared a lot of all the years covering sports with people. I always made, you know, we developed friendships, and they tell me stories, and they trust me. Now we're not going
to
talk about this, and I never did. But I have some stories that people would cringe if I exposed them, and. Probably they're better halves in some case, just the fun stuff that they did. Anyway, so let's go back. So, one and done, but then you moved into the press box. How was it, you know, being a media guy, I never, you know, I went from the computer industry to the media, and I thought, I can't wait to get up in the press box. People used to say, you're so lucky. You got the best seat in the house. Well, it might be the best seat in the house, and if you're a fan, it's like going to a library, because everybody is, they've got their computers going on.
Exactly.
They don't want you talking. They don't want to hear a damn thing. I'm working here, and you're like, yeah. I mean, I took a friend of mine into the Iowa State, Nebraska press box. I said, now you got to shut your yapper. Big Nebraska fan. And he lets out a cheer. And all these guys from the Des Moines Register, all these major outlets, look at me like, you're a clown anyway, because I started my own company. We didn't want you in this world, and now you bring this jackass. So I had to exit him out. So I always tell him, it's not that great, is it, Becky?
It is not, and that's exactly what happened. We were there to make sure we took care of the newspaper, reporters, etc.
And they can be prima donnas.
They can. And
well, you're a female. They're probably nice to you.
They were, actually.
Yeah. Well,
but I was actually a fan, and so I'm in the middle of doing, you know, whatever they need. And I watch the play. I start screaming.
You would have gotten the exit stage right in a lot of press boxes.
Just like you said, everybody turns around and looks at me like I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But it's very hard to work in that environment and not be excited and not cheer for our team.
Yeah. Now, I don't mean this sexist, but if a guy did that, he'd get creamed. Absolute cream. But here's this cute little thing who's doing the job anyway. So we'll give her a pass.
I had
guy like me
time.
Got slaughtered. Get out.
I had such a good time. I have to tell you this story. Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell.
I would have loved to have met that cat.
Vince Ferragamo.
There's it. He was a Nebraska
Hayden,
fan.
What was I mean, Hayden's first name?
Fry?
No, the quarterback. Hayden. But I got to meet so many people. I mean, like, really, in the elevator. So I had...
Talk to Howard? Did he say a word to you?
Yes, and yes, and yes.
Really? We'll talk about that off the air. I was a Howard Cosell fan because I'm a big boxing fan. And he had such a great relationship with Muhammad Ali.
Pat Hayden.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
And Frank Gifford.
Was a gentleman.
I have pictures. I mean, it's all legit. It was so amazing.
Well, I trust you, honey.
No, I'm telling you.
You know what? There's a lot of times when we're telling stories like this, because we're in sports and we meet people, and people think you're BS, and you say, I'm not trying to boast. It's what I did for a living. You know, I met this guy, and it's fortunate. But you just treat them like regular people. That's what they want. They don't want you, you know, at their feet. And, oh, my God, you're Frank Gifford. They just walk away like you're a fan. You're doing your job. They're doing their job. They just happen to be worldwide famous. So, Frank Gifford.
Yeah.
Dad, you got did you ever see Dandy Don Meredith?
I did not.
I would have liked to have seen him.
I would have liked to have seen Don.
Yeah. So, what kind of task did you do in the press box?
We served them hot dogs and nachos.
They've upgraded the media spreads these days. That's why a lot of these media guys aren't exactly svelte, if you want. I mean, it's always a good spread in most Division I college sports, all the way to pros. I'm sure they're not dogs and chips now.
No, we just made sure they were fed and they did their job.
All right, so let's go back to talking about your best experience in those 6 years. From a win perspective. Do you remember the first win?
I do.
Because Mark Ferguson, did he tell you the story?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mark Ferguson was there for the first win as well.
I hear he tried to take down the goals.
You got pictures of him. What was it, the Tampa Bay Times then?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's got a picture, and he's very proud of it. That's me. And they're bum-rushing the field to take down the goalpost. So you were there for victory number one.
I was. And, you know, I don't know if anybody remembers, but back then we actually had a Buccaneer band that played in the stadium. I mean,
they just called them the Buccaneer Band and the Buccaneer Cheerleaders now.
No.
They didn't even have a name. I mean, like
we were Swashbucklers, but that was...
They should have been like Pirates of the Caribbean Band or something. Right?
Yeah, back in the day. But
Tampa Bay Tunes, whatever, something.
Anyway, yes, when that win happened, it was the most incredible thing for all of us. You would have thought that we had won the national conference or the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, like you just did.
It's amazing.
Well, that first win is monumental in any organization when you're an expansion club. So you were there, and now you've been part of the fan base for two Super Bowls. How special was Super Bowl 55 being as immersed for you girls as you were?
For me, it was like the most incredible, most historic, best thing ever. Leading up to this, I mean, from the time that they announced that Tom Brady was coming on board and Gronkowski was coming on board, and the fact that that we had a rough, rocky start, and with COVID-19 and the entire pandemic, the fact that we just continued to improve. I love our coach, Bruce Arians, and I love the Glazers. I think
great ownership group.
It's a great ownership group, and I was back in the day with you know, the Culver House situation, but this for me from day one when we won, when we got the franchise, to this moment when we won that Super Bowl, I can't tell you. It was the best moment ever from a Buccaneer, Tampa Bay, swashbuckler, cheerleader, fan standpoint.
You know, I help Mark during games, you know, things to do, and he had me down here every Sunday for the Bucs games. Being a lifelong Packer fan.
My husband's a Packer fan from Wisconsin.
My man, is he?
He's from Wisconsin.
What's Mr. Murray's first name?
Timothy
Murray, you're my man if you're listening. Anyway, we'll talk Packers. But so I'm helping Mark, and I'm right here, and you know, we're COVID conscious. I got a couple big bodyguards, and I'm making sure everybody's got their mask on. My son's in Denver, and I took him to Lambeau several, you know, quite a few times. They've been to Lambeau. And so he's texting me, "You got your Packer gear on?" Well, I didn't have Bucks gear on. I didn't have Packer gear on. I went with St. Pete Sports Connection. Like, I want to be incognito. From an economic standpoint, Mark's my friend, and also I wanted to see. We got a trophy case full of trophies in Green Bay, but when I saw Mark Ferguson, and I'm sure you girls did the same thing, when they were going to the Super Bowl, I swear to God, I think it wasn't just that his eyes weren't sweating. I think he was actually a little moisty-eyed, and you don't see him get emotional. And he was like, "We're going back to the Super Bowl."
Oh, my God. And
then I was here on Super Bowl Sunday, and that was crazy. And again, I felt good for the Tampa Bay area. I'm never leaving here. I'm getting immersed. The same thing's happened with the Rays, and I'm a Yankees fan. So I can imagine how much fun you girls had. And, Becky, I'm sure. Share your feelings. And where were you girls watching the game?
Well, the day of Super Bowl, I was able to do a promotion at One Buck Place. And then after that, I went to a local brewery, Bay Cannon Brewery, where they had NFL alumni. Hence, Barry was actually there watching the game. And we went there. I mean, it was amazing. I've been in Tampa for 58 years. And, you know, to cheer for the Bucks for 1 year. And I used to downplay it. But then someone said, "Listen, you cheered for a year." And I'm like, "You know what? I did."
Yeah, which is special.
And I worked for the Bucks in, you know, the promotions and in the press box. And then I worked front office. So
You're a legit alum.
I'm a legit alum. And I embraced it. I mean, I enjoyed it. And when we won, I couldn't have been any more excited.
Well, ladies,
I am proud.
I mean, hey, this is what we all do.
I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and know what we're going to do. Barry's busy right now, but in about another month, we'll have a little reunion.
Yay.
We'll have a little party here.
Yay.
We'll do this same thing, and we'll get Barry down here to share his stories, and we'll take an hour.
Okay.
A trip back in time.
Oh, yeah.
A fun one.
Playboy then.
Could you tell me that issue? No, I'm just kidding. I bet that was, yeah, we will talk about it. Barry's your best friend, so I'll let Barry pose those questions. I just met you. I'd be a little uncomfortable posing those type of questions, but Tell Timothy Murray I look forward to meeting him too. He needs to come down here when we have that event. And we'll wear our Packer gear that day. You can wear your Buckskate
gear. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Did you guys go to the game when the Packers got that holy hell beat out of them by the Bucks?
No, we watched it at home. We were a house divided.
You think?
Yes.
All right, ladies. Well, thank you very much for coming on St. Pete Sports Connection. And you going to hang around a little bit?
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much.
You bet. I'll be done about 2 o'clock, and we'll wind down. Now I'm going to bring my young friend, Joseph Colbert, is going to join me. We're going to talk the business of sport. Want to turn that mic off for me, dear? All right. Thank you very much. That's Becky Williams and Lynn Munoz. They could tell me stories for hours about the Tampa Bay Bucks back in the day, and that was a lot of fun. Hey, a couple of things before Joseph joins me. Let's take care of a little business. Today it's Festival Day at Tampa Bay Downs. There's 5 stakes races, over $1 million in person. The biggest day of the year, actually, at Tampa Bay Downs. In fact, we'll broadcast all 5 races today, starting at 2:18. Bob Bauer and the legendary track announcer, Richard Gunder, he's on the call. RadioSt.Pete.com, as I mentioned. I don't know if you saw the article in the newspaper. I'll slide that over to Joe so we can see it. Great announcement this week is we got the FCC authorization, and now we are actually the official station for Tampa Bay Downs and each and every race. It's the biggest race of the year, as I said, just 2 months away from the Run for the Roses and the Kentucky Derby. And this is where St. Pete Sports Connection plans on staying until they throw dirt on me. We're going to have a lot of fun with this news. We're going to be able to offer new, exciting content. Joe's behind most of the projects that are brought his direction. And I said, this past week, the audience has doubled since the press releases and everything has taken place. Now, a young man that I've known, actually, I met him in 2018 here at Ferg's. And the day happened to be the East-West Shrine Game, which...
to be here. I'm honored to be here, and I've been a big fan of your broadcast for a while, so this is a fun day for me.
All right, now let's talk a little Tampa Bay Bucks. Now, did you grow up in this area?
Actually, I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
That's what I thought.
Raised in Staten Island until I moved here in sixth grade, and I do want to start out by paying homage to the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, and I want to preface that with the fact that I grew up a Jets fan, unfortunately, and I watched the New England Patriots and Tom Brady decimate the Jets for decade after decade. And so I had a sworn oath of sports hatred for Tom Brady that would go with me to my grave or until he came to the Tampa Bay Bucks and I threw all that out the window.
And embraced him.
Absolutely, you have to.
Well, you know what? Here's a couple of things that just happened this week on the Brady trail. First of all, he was on one of the late night shows, and he said the moment right after the Super Bowl, his wife, you know, who's stunning, and she came out and she's hugging him, and the first thing she whispers in his ears, do you really think you have anything else to prove? And he said, here I am, I'm hugging my kids and kissing her, and she's got my ear, and said, come on, man. Basically, is this it? Enough? But obviously, it's not for the GOAT. And here's another thing. Success breeds success from a financial perspective. Tom Brady's rookie card this week just went for $1.25 million. Rookie football card.
Amazing. Well worth it.
The highest priced card ever in the football world. Baseball cards have gone as high as $5 million, but... 1.25. And for you fans out there that want to get to Ray J next year, hopefully COVID-free, I'm sure the gentleman to my right here, Banjo Steve, might try to get to a game. Well, you better start making some cash on some gigs there, Banjo, because ticket prices went up 45%.
Oh yeah,
45%. Now the reality of that is that's just how it goes. I remember New England Patriots. I was in Green Bay, Lambeau. I mean, a historic franchise. Tickets are a little pricey there. Took my son, Patriots and Packers, right when the Patriots were at the top of their game. I've got Patriot fans all around me. We're in Green Bay, and I'm like, what the hell? So I asked these young guys in front of me from Boston, they go, what are you guys doing here? Well, first of all, why did the Packer fans give up their season tickets? Well, in Wisconsin, the opening weekend of deer hunting season is like a national holiday. And these guys all gave their tickets. This kid said it was cheaper to fly from Boston, stay in a hotel, and buy tickets on StubHub to the Packers game than to go to Gillette. Terrible. That's how expensive the Patriots tickets were.
Yeah, that's why they travel so well, those Patriots fans.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Joe, so let's talk a little business. Why don't you give the audience your bio from the projects you're in right now. One thing that I love, and we're gonna nurture this, being down here at Ferg's, typically we're right there on Central and see the vibrancy, but a little chilly today, is you've got your finger on the pulse of all these new businesses typically opening up, and that's what impresses me. And you've seen, in 3 years, what, phenomenal growth.
Absolutely. St. Pete's growing exponentially. It's an exciting thing to witness and be part of. Me and my wife and my family are now official St. Pete residents. We moved here, so we're all
sold. What about the queen of the house? You got to give her a little shout out.
Absolutely. My lovely wife, Vicky, who is my light and my sunshine. She's listening right now. We're just so happy to be part of this community.
But the boss of the house. You got to recognize the little boss of the house.
Oh, my little daughter, Chloe.
Come on, man. I'm covering you here.
What an absolute doll. She's home listening to Dad, and we're just real excited, all of us, to be part of this community. We love St. Pete. We love the Tampa area. I'm also proud to say that I've always loved helping business owners be successful and save. And my specialty is helping them save on credit card acceptance from customers. I either can take them from a 4% down to a 3%, or we have a program that helps them get rid of all the fees that they're charged when their customers swipe those expensive American Express and Discover reward cards. And what we do, we take a company that's usually spending $1,000 a month of their hard-earned profits, and we help them save that $1,000 on fees and reallocate that money to social media and traditional advertising. So I specialize in helping business owners not waste money that's not needed to be wasted.
And you've had incredible success. I know over the years we've been talking about it, and I've been into several of the businesses, and they absolutely love, well, in today's world, especially what's happened during this COVID period, it's probably been any savings of dollars for these people that are struggling to stay open has probably been a benefit, and they appreciate your service even more.
I couldn't agree more, Mike. You said it so well. We work with national chains such as Church's Chicken, and then we work with regular...
I love that chicken.
Me too. And then we work with regular mom-and-pop local places like Mi Coretta Colombian Restaurant, La Vie Vietnamese. These are some of the best and brightest.
What's the place I went and ate with you?
Mi Coretta. That was the best Colombian
restaurant.
I love
that.
Yeah.
And I'd never had Colombian food. That owner is a cool cat.
Real Marlin, real nice guy, and some of the best baked goods and Colombian food.
That was the thing I liked, was the sweets.
Fantastic.
I told my girlfriend that I ate Colombian food, and she thinks I'm just a meat and potatoes guy from Iowa. She goes, well, you must have been with someone that forced you. I said, no, someone that educated me, the owner. And so I told him, you know, my palate's pretty bland being an old Iowan, and that food was excellent.
Well, I'm glad to hear you liked it. Everyone seems to like him an awful lot. They do a lot of business there.
Okay, so that's just not enough for you. You're going 24/7. Let's talk about a couple of the other projects that you're involved in, and one of them intrigues me from a turf perspective, because I had a putting green in my one of my homes back in the day, and there was turf. So let's talk about those two projects.
Absolutely. I'm a very environmentally minded individual. I care about the planet. I started a nonprofit to help raise awareness about the planet, onepeaceeach.org. And so the turf industry and niche was very much something I enjoyed, because when you put turf back in the backyard, you can avoid any type of pesticides. You don't have to water the turf. And it just looks really, really nice when you're coming up with landscape ideas.
And you can practice your golf swing.
Most important, Mike, is you can work on that golf swing and that putting game.
Exactly. Putting, get some of those wiffle balls and hit off it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I definitely would do it. And that new home that you've got, it looks superb around your pool. I was not pretty impressed. Extremely impressed.
I'm glad you liked it. And so because of the experience myself, I'm not just offering something that I think is great. I actually have turf in my house.
It looks cool, folks. I'm telling you right now.
It's a real nice product. So if you have any ideas for landscaping or you're sick and tired of dealing with your grass, you want something that will help the planet and help your pocketbook, you can reach out to us at 888-351-4177 for more information on that.
All right. And then you dove into the solar world, too?
Absolutely. Because of my love for the planet, I went ahead and got my pool heated for my young daughter, Chloe. She absolutely loves it. It's been a cold winter by Florida standards, and we've been able to go swimming the entire month of February because of our pool solar heater. And so I've gotten into the solar industry, not only for pools, but also for your entire house. And the solar industry is a little bit like the Wild Wild West right now. Everybody's involved. They're trying to get...
Yeah, I see ads all the time, but that is the future.
It is the future.
And you're a futurist. I'm too old to be a futurist, but I'm living in the moment, and I try to embrace all the changes that are taking place across the globe, and I know they're all great. And now that I have grandkids, you know, I worry about generations down the road versus just the bubble I live in right now.
That's right.
All right, my friend, how do people get a hold of you?
Absolutely. You can reach me at 888-351-4177, or the website is coverallconsulting.us. I appreciate your time, Mike. It was a lot of fun. I love talking sports and business with you anytime.
Real quick minute. You just got back from North Carolina?
I did. Fantastic. We're in Banner Elk, right outside of Boone, North Carolina. It was beautiful up there.
I think I told you my nephew is a teacher and a fishing guide up there. That, he said there's more Floridians migrating up there. And probably because everybody's migrating down here, but I'm glad you had a great weekend.
Thank you, Mike.
Now I'm going to migrate to Banjo Steve if you want to come over here, my friend, and visit with me for a bit. You got your brown on. He is a you've heard him here down at FERC several times. And Banjo Steve is... played on Super Bowl Sunday. I was Super Bowl Saturday. I was very impressed with that. Do you know how to turn a mic on?
I do.
Do you really?
Yep.
Amazing. What's up, brother?
How are you doing, brother?
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be seen.
It's a little quieter down here than the last couple times we got together because we had that Tampa Bay Bucks. You haven't been on since they won the Super Bowl, have you?
No, I've been playing a bunch of gigs out of town. So
yeah,
I'm factually in town today.
You're another one of those lifelong Bucks fans. I don't know if you heard me talking to the girls that were original cheerleaders.
Oh, cool.
Swashbucklers, 76, and then Becky in the red and white, she worked in the front office for the Bucks.
Oh, nice.
And I know you're just a passionate Bucks fan.
That is very true. More so than most people even imagine.
How's Styles doing, my man?
Styles is doing killer. Yeah, he's been out there doing his thing.
We had him down here on Super Bowl Saturday. He's a former Minnesota Gopher, and he shared his time with John Gruden and the Buccaneers. I'm sure he was ecstatic because, you know, he did have an opportunity to play for him. It's like the girl said, if you were a part of that team, I mean, he played for them. They worked in the front office. One's a cheerleader. And of course, that's their badge, their stamp of definite approval. But when you're a lifelong fan, same thing.
Yeah. When watching football, it's about following the team and the development and the players and the years and, you know, the different wins and losses. And you know, you get really attached to the players. You know, I'm always excited when I see a guy get drafted and I'm rooting for him. I'm excited. It's a life-changing event. You know, and I want to see them succeed. And when they do, it's gratifying. You feel like you're part of that. And, being here with the Bucks, I really strongly fell in love with them when Dungy came in and, you know, implemented the defense, the cover two, Tampa 2 defense. And that really made the whole town start really falling in love with the Bucks. I mean, we've been following them for a long time, but, you know, bringing that type of winning championship attitude, you know, it was a big difference maker.
Well, there was a debate today on one of the shows as I was driving in on who was the greatest coach in Bucks history. And, of course, Tony Dungy did not get a Super Bowl. A lot of people say that was Chucky's team was Tony Dungy's team. And now, of course, now Bruce Arians is in the conversation. But 60% of the people still feel that Tony Dungy was the greatest coach that they've ever had at Tampa Bay, regardless of the fact that he didn't have a ring.
Well, I think that that could be a fair statement. I mean, everyone goes back and forth on that debate, and I've been a part of it. But if you look at what Dungy did to turn around the Tampa
Bay Buccaneers, that's the key, I think,
and show that we could be a winning team and a winning force, that brought an attitude that changed the Tampa Bay football scene. So,
all right, well, speaking of scenes, let's talk the music scene for a while. I don't know if you wanted to... we could rig something if you wanted to play something.
There's a lot of background music, so I don't know how great a quality we could.
Well, we'll just visit about where you been, where you going to be playing. Are you coming down to Ferg's anytime in the near future?
I'm going to talk to him about that, see when the next Ferg's. If you see him, say, hey, when's Banjo Steve going to...
Well, we'll see him walk by. He introduced himself to the cheerleader, so he should remember you. And that was... Yeah. That, I loved it. The genre of your what do you call your band? The one I saw Saturday night, the Super Bowl Saturday.
That's the No BS band.
That's the No BS band.
Banjo Steve, No BS band, because there's no BS in Banjo Steve. So that's a pretty tight unit. We just did a series of shows. I was over in Ormond Beach, and I played Pisces Fest, and I played in Daytona, and we've been in Gainesville. We've been starting to get back out there. Things are starting to open up. Tonight we're at the hangar in St. Pete, where the airport is, near the Dolly Museum. And the hangar's a pretty cool spot. They got fantastic food. Fantastic food. I'm going to try not eat, so when I get there I can...
What time's that show?
That's from 6 to 9. And we'll be doing our chill set, which is me and my keyboard player. We get to throw down some of the more...
I might make a venture down there tonight. Yeah. What time is it again?
6 to 9 at the hangar in St. Pete.
Well, of course, that's local music. We made the announcement this week. I think I mentioned it to you. The FCC authorization came through, licensing for the new ownership group under Joe Bordeaux and his gang, and that's exciting news for local musicians, as you're well aware of. And 96.7 FM, 24/7, RadioSt.Pete.com. You can hear local musicians, and we're going to get you involved in some capacity, as we've talked about, and all kinds of opportunities exist. We may do some shows live from the beach on Sundays. We've talked about that. Getting you and some of your gang that are Floridian musicians to have a show recognizing the history of Florida music, and past and present.
Yeah, the music underground. Me and Bob Noxious, who was a former pirate radio station here.
What was that movie?
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about back in the day.
Well, there was the guy that started this station. Actually, was involved in pirate radio in some capacity. According to Joe Bordeaux, and I met the other day, had conversations. So I like the fact that you brought that up.
Well, we. You know, this area's needed one for quite a long time, and I think it's a fantastic opportunity to showcase the music scene, the music talent of this area. The show that we want to put together is basically showcasing the last 25 to 30 years of the Florida music scene. I've been fortunate to be a part of the scene for that long. Started playing bars at 15, and I've always fell in love with the local music scene, the original artist, and... So I've got really great connection of folks that have been doing it, and there's the young bloods too. Also do a lot of mentoring, trying to help, you know, get groups opportunity, bands opportunities to do things.
Well, you're trying to teach Styles how to play the bass, right?
Yeah.
How's that project going?
It's going good. The guy's got talent, you know, and with I learned a few tricks along the way that I try to pay.
I suppose since you're 15.
Yeah, well, I think I started playing a guitar at 12, but I started playing a horn when I was like 9 and singing in my school church, or not my school church, but my buddy that I went to school with, his mom ran a choir, and she recruited me from the neighborhood and would have me sing. Usually during the concerts, I'd get one solo song, which really had a huge impact on me. I didn't really think about it till, you know, way later in life when I was like, wow, this is... you know, it's given me the confidence and the ability to feel comfortable. You know, because that's one of the things, going on stage, you know, learning how to feel comfortable and deal with the pressures. It's similar to being an athlete. It's the same as being an athlete, getting that mental preparation to go out there and deliver a performance that's mentally and physically based.
Well, my friend, I'm very impressed, as you're well aware of. You've been in our world a couple of times. We look forward to the future. One more time for your gig tonight before I wind the show down.
All right, that's going to be at the Hangar down by Mahaffey Theater, next to the little airport, the Hangar with Banjo.
Hence the Hangar, right?
Yeah. Yeah, keep playing. Just keep plugging Hangar and they'll remember it, right?
All right. So. Well, he's Banjo Steve, and we formed a friendship. It was great to see you down at the TI Drum Circle with my family. They absolutely loved. That was fun.
I forgot. Yeah. I've been going there since I was at
Well, I live right
time.
There.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Have a great weekend. Have a great gig tonight, and we'll be talking to you soon. We'll get you back on here to play a couple songs in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, brother.
You bet. That's Banjo Steve, and he was kind enough to come down and do a little promo. You've heard him here, and Ferg had him. He booked some acts for the Friday and Saturday of the Super Bowl weekend, the Super Bowl extravaganza. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're winding down the St. Pete Sports Connection. And as I mentioned, April 9th is the opening game for the Tampa Bay Rays against the New York Yankees. And this place will be absolutely crazy on that day, the opening day, because of last year. Ferg's didn't get to participate until late in the season, and I love it. I'll be down here helping out and look forward to that. As I mentioned, the Rays right now, they're 500 for spring ball. That doesn't really matter. Pushing for that fourth win today. Let's go over some of the games you'll be able to watch down here at Ferg's right now. You've got Notre Dame and Florida State, and that's the early game for all you Seminole fans. Wichita State, come the Shockers and USF play a little bit later on. Big game in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Illinois. That has a lot of seeding implications. And, of course, Illinois looking for a number one seed. Ohio State, probably 7 or 8 teams that will be out of the Big Ten in the dance. North Carolina and Duke, that's on ESPN today. As I mentioned, tonight is UFC 259. I hadn't really dove into UFC at my age, but I'm getting more involved. There's a female championship. There's 3 belts on the line tonight, so that's on UFC. It's free here. It's ESPN Plus if you're at home, so come on down to Ferg's. Starts about 9 o'clock. This place will be packed and a lot of fun. COVID conscious as always down here at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. And keep in mind, it's Festival Day at Tampa Bay Downs. There's 5 stakes races, over $1 million in purses. And we'll broadcast all 5 today starting at about 2:18, about 18 minutes after I wind down the show. And you've got Bob Bauer and legendary track announcer Richard Gunder's got over 3 decades on the call. And as I said, RadioSt.Pete.com is the official radio station of Tampa Bay Downs. It's the biggest race of the year. All right, the lovely ladies are leaving. Good to see you, Becky. Nice to meet you, girls. We'll be getting together. Have a great day. Send me some of the pictures you took, would you? All right. The swashbucklers are leaving the house. That the beauty of the place just went down dramatically. That was a lot of fun with them, and I'm going to dive into that Playboy shoot issue. That was intriguing. I'll just say that was intriguing. But I want to thank them for coming down, and then of course Chris McCain talking a little hoops. A week from tomorrow is Selection Sunday. A great day. I mean, right now, there's so many teams on the bubble, and the small conferences are having their tournaments. Just a great time of year if you're a hoops fan. Come on down to Ferg's. 85 strong as far as television. He'll place you in front of your favorite team so that you can participate in March Madness. I will be down here on that Thursday, I assure you. Probably sitting right where I'm at right now with 3 or 4 televisions. Well, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. From one perch, I've got 10 televisions right in front of me. So that's how many different games I could be watching. For Joseph Colbert, Lemieux Knows, Becky Williams, Banjo Steve, Chris McCain. This might take 10 minutes just to thank everybody. Mark Ferguson and Joe Berdow on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanking you for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection and wish you and your families a great weekend. Be sure to check out Ferg's this weekend for all your collegiate games. UFC 259 tonight. and then spring training games are on as well. May God bless you, God bless America, and be sure to have a championship week.